Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson here for AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 5, Episode 4, titled Second Chances. So we got Arturo the Snitch, who's in the building. We're going to talk to him. Second question. So are you Team Tasha, Team Mama Estelle, or Team Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Final topic. Proctor checks Ghost, and he got baby mama problems. Let's go!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Say this is a big rich town.
Hey. I just come from the poorest part.
We gonna make this work.
Black lights, city lights, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
After show. What a day. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Monday. So I'm Bam Erickson. I think we all agree that this is a good episode. Yes or no?
Yes. A lot of juice.
Yep. Okay. So again, I'm Bam Erickson. I want to introduce the panel.
I'm Jimmy V.
I'm Jill Monroe.
I am Robin Ayers.
Okay. So Robin, hit it.
Guys, okay.
It's you Monday.
Listen, we see you all up in the live chat. Like, where are you guys? But it's for a really good reason. We have with us today, you guys know him as Arturo on Power, but we have today, you guys, Victor Almanzar. Thank you so much for coming in the building with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we got beef, so we got a lot to discuss with you, sir.
Yes, we do, man.
Yeah. So, okay, so in one of my hashtags, I think I called you your character, Arturo the Snitch. So let's just go right into your storyline. So after Angela has a meeting with Donovan where she drops off the files for Raymond Jones, she goes into the office and immediately John Mock, attitude, rolling his eyes, Cooper Sacks, eats a donut. They totally disregard this woman, yet she seems to have all the information. I mean, is she doing a good job or bad job, or are they just being haters? What do you think?
I think they're just being haters.
They're being haters. They don't mess with Angela, and they want to take her down, you know? Yeah. But she's dirty. So.
I mean, but on the surface, it definitely looks like she's doing her job. Like, I loved how they built this episode up to where she looks like, man, Angela's got this in the bag, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know? So.
And so as they're having the conversation, she mentions that they have warrant applications for both Alicia and Diego Jimenez on multiple charges. And so, of course, there's the banter. You know, John Mock is always the first one that want to throw questions, and then Cooper says, always has something. But then Angela said, but there is something, you know, in regards to them being in the city. She was like, not only do we think that they're in the city, but she also knows that the distro who they suspect is Arturo Magdalena. And so then later they go and bring him into question.
I love that scene. I love that scene.
Because you folded rather quickly.
Man, you folded like a napkin.
Let's give you, Victor, hold on. We're going to give you some props real quick. Because you didn't go, you didn't fold like so quick. It was like, he was like, I need a lawyer. All right, fine. I ain't the distro. You know what I'm saying? It took a few seconds. But what was that scene like for you? How fun was that scene?
I mean, it was very, very fun. I did a lot of work, a lot of backstory on who my character was leading into this scene. So I knew there was a lot of on stake, and I knew what I wanted for my organization itself, and I knew that I had taken a body that wasn't my body, and I know what that means in the street, and I also know what it means to snitch in the street. So it was a complicated scene, but at the same time, this character from my back on my own backstory, the work that I did was in a way looking out for himself, which I had to justify for him, because me, myself, who I am, I don't think I will move in those lanes. But for this character, there's always a circumstance that somebody would do something that they didn't think they would do. So I had to justify it for him.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the first thing that Medina says is he says that that Arturo only served 2 weeks in juvie, and he goes, "What a gangster you are!" So, what do you think that? What do you guys think that says about his character? Do you think that he's smart, being that he's been able to avoid jail, or does that mean that he's really a wankster?
I feel like he has to have some type of intelligence to him, you know, because he's in a position where he has some type of responsibility. I think he saw an opportunity since nobody was claiming the body. He knew that, yeah, it's a risk, but, you know, you can step up and see some other things. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what happened on the street just because, you know, he might have mad bodies, but not the, you know, the jail sentence to prove it. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And Victor, you tell us, but I kind of also think that he had a little bit of a wave to ride because his cousin Uriel, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got that power. You're going to sort of like ride on that power. But I agree with you, Jill, because he has to be smart in order to have played the cards that he played to end up in the position that he's in. Because even if you take it back to the episode three, just past that, but not this one, but the one before, where was it the one before where he introduced the team to Dre? He was like, "This is our new boss." So he's in a position.
Episode two.
Episode two. Okay, yeah. Thank you for that. And so he's in a position of power. So he's got to be playing his cards right.
I will agree with that. What do you think, Victor?
Well, coming in like from my backstory, my character, I believe he looked up to Uriel and he wanted to be like, kind of like in the position that he was in. And I believe he, since they related their cousins, they talked a lot about taking over and how they were going to do that. And I believe the reason that he took the body, I agree with you. He was very smart as far as like taking opportunities. And he knew by doing that, he was going to get closer to the cartel and like probably put himself in a better position. But at the same time, he didn't like really took care of analyzing the consequences behind this choice. And, you know, he's a little young, I believe, and that's the reason why they chose him over the other second in command of the Toros Locos, because they knew that he didn't know his way around as much. He might have the heart, he might have the intelligence, but he didn't have the way they know how to move in those rooms with those top hitters.
So then another question. So with Dre covering up for Arturo, Diego knowing Arturo was lying and then killed the innocent men, you have Two-Bit and Spanky. They're mad at your character for taking credit. And now you just blab the whereabouts of Alicia and Diego. So a question to you is, what has Arturo got himself into? Like, what's next?
Death.
Yeah. Sounds like he's in too deep.
But I gotta tell you that he's in very risky waters. I mean, you could smell it coming, like anybody that snitches. And you said it yourself, snitches get stitches, right?
Right.
So you know he's in a tough situation. So, you know, he's probably trying to analyze himself and see how he could get himself out of this hole. But it's a tough position, he's saying. Like, he didn't have a chance. He walked into this game without knowing what he was getting into, and they already had so many things planned out before he even got there. So he thinks he might know what he's doing, but, you know, he went in blind.
Victor, can you take us back to when you had to take out those three guys? did your character know what he was doing at that time?
The way I played it as the character, that this was the first time really, really killing someone in close range. People, he got range in having the bodies right in front of you. I played it that way, that this was my first time doing that. The reason why I played it like that is because it's more interesting, and because since the backstory is that this character is younger, I think this was the first time that he got to prove himself in front of Diego, in front of Dre, and he didn't really get to kill Lorenzo. So this is the first time that he gets to get some type of revenge for the people he thought was trying to play him and Uriel. So these people were following Lorenzo. So this is the first time that he actually got some type of revenge, because Lorenzo wasn't him, and he knew that. So this is the first time he's actually doing something like that. So he had a mix of anger and a mix of, you know, a little bit of, a little bit of fear of his first, like, close encounter, like, shooting someone. I believe that that's what happened with him.
Yeah.
And we also have a live chat. So if there's anyone in the live chat who has any questions for Victor, you guys can send some questions as we continue the conversation. I want to go a little bit further into the storyline. So with the crystal ball, with crystal ball, when he was instructed to drive Dre to the depart location of Alicia and Diego, Alicia says, we have a certain system too, and I want you to show crystal ball how to operate the books in the club so he can run things here when we expand. So this system, for me, I interpret this. I do see some color issues. I do think that Diego does not like Dre.
Right.
Not only because he's smart, he's business savvy, and that Diego is a mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I see some color issues in the sense of could it be that Dre is not respected amongst the others because he's black?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. I mean, I think that's a real thing that happens sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, like there's
culturally.
Yeah.
And him not knowing Spanish and, you know, they're speaking Spanish around him. I just.
Well, I mean, and that's actually, I don't know. We don't know the answer to that. I mean, I guess we can have our assumptions and opinions on it. But Michelle Elliott in the chat room, she wanted to know, because there are so many Latinos who speak Spanish on set. Do you guys speak Spanish with each other offset much?
Yes, it happens a lot. But also, like, we are from New York, too, so we tend to gravitate towards, you know, towards English. But from time to time, we say some words in Spanish here and there. Yeah, we do speak Spanish sometimes, but most of the time we speak English.
Yes. Got you. You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about your character, because one who's not an actor, like myself, you would tend to think anybody who's a gangster, you just go in there, you play a gangster, right? You pull out a gun and you do whatever you do. But you're talking about there's a lot more work that goes into that. You thought about the character and how young the character is and how he had to portray that he didn't kill anybody before. So that's how he had to act in that scene. So I mean, it's pretty interesting to hear you talk that way. So you know, that's just an observation, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Also, with so when Dre and Crystal Ball had conversation toward the end of the episode, when they were beef kind of disagreeing, Crystal Ball says, "We think we have a rat." And
yes.
Dre somewhat kind of just dismisses the situation. What do you guys think? Because Crystal Ball kind of stays in the back. What is Crystal Ball's relationship? Do you think that he's closer to Arturo? Do you or like? Because he's kind of like in the middle, and I'm just trying to figure out, what do you guys think in regards to with this whole rat situation? And Victor, I'm sorry, I have to call it like it is. Arturo's going to be dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to be sad.
He'll be dead episode 8, 9, he'll probably 6. But the reality is, with so many people involved in this and people not knowing that mm-hmm. Arturo actually is a rat, this can go a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, being that Crystal Ball is kind of like in the neutral part, I'm wondering what side is he going to take?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I feel like Crystal Ball is looking at Dre. I mean, because Dre has been doing some outlandish stuff and the plan keeps getting bigger and bigger and more bodies keep piling up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he is, you know, you can't back off from it completely because this is business and you guys are in bed together. But I think that he's backing off from Dre slightly because there's a lot of problems that are coming from this connection. Things that, issues that... It, in different sort of ways from the things that happen with Ghost and Tommy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in regards to you, Victor, how did you get this role?
Audition. Mm-hmm. Audition. I remember there were audition first for a police officer, one of the officers, the one that found the bullet on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Audition
got it.
For a role. And then I went back in for this role specifically, and they liked what I did, and that was it.
And so did you audition one time, or was it a call? Did you have callbacks for it?
No, I didn't have a callback. It was just one time, and they like what I did, and maybe because also I look a little bit like Uriel too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as far as like the head style and the beard and stuff like that. But they like what I did, and they called me in, and And it was a blessing. I was just thankful that I was the one. Because auditions go, like, it could go either way. It's so many little things. In audition, you could go to 50 auditions and you might get one.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
You know, I was just blessed that that it was me and that they liked that the work that I did.
So, Victor, so much on this particular episode has happened, and we're going to discuss it, but I want to get, or I'm sure we all want to hear your perspective just as a viewer. I know you're part of the show, but when you watch it back, what your thoughts are. So, bam, let's get into the episode because there's so much to talk about.
Continuing with the task force. So, what were you guys' thoughts on Alicia and Diego? So once they brought it, so once Alicia and Diego was caught, then we had them come back to the precinct, mm-hmm. and then voila,
that was
Steve comes in, yeah. and then yeah. drops the ball, and then he takes over the interrogation of Alicia.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' thoughts on Steve and Alicia and the unmonitored conversation?
It's something more to that Steve
definitely,
guy.
Definitely.
You know? I mean, the fact that he just wouldn't even give the information that he, you know, he was just like, it's above your pay grade. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to say, he was just making it sound like everything was just completely not for them to know. But there's definitely something up that I'm interested to find out more about.
I was interested because of how comfortable Alicia was and how she knew nothing was going to go down. She brought up excellent points about the less crime on the border, no drug mules, things like that. We know that the government at times gets in bed with certain situations that right. can benefit on both sides and funding and, you know, you rub my back, I rub yours. Or is it scratch? Same thing. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like there's definitely more to this situation. And though they didn't know each other, Alicia somehow knew that she was cool. And the fact that she pointed out, hey, you guys keep Diego. She's about to try and knock Diego off. And Dre is going to be the one that she's going to go to have it done.
Which was very surprising because to knock off your own brother out of your own business, that shows she's got no remorse for anything.
Yeah.
But it also shows that, well, let's just look at Diego's track record. So he ran up a $60,000 tab.
Right.
He's always on drugs. He is
a problem.
He is a major, he's a major problem. And so,
liability.
And so the sister, as you can tell, is always defending her brother.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they got called in, arrested right before she was getting ready to go to Mexico for a couple of days, simply because he left his gun at the trap house.
Yeah. Well, she planted the gun, right?
Well,
we found out that she, because isn't that what was discussed?
That's what was discussed, but I needed some clarification. Maybe Victor, you can clarify with the gun that was used. When Arturo, you know, did the shootout,
the gold gun,
what happened? Who did we miss something?
No. I think you was right. I think that's what was implied, that Alicia planted the gun for him,
mm-hmm.
and because of what you guys are talking, he is being reckless. So you could tell in that episode that she's not happy with him,
mm-hmm.
and like you're right, she has no remorse, and it's crazy, but you know, like it gives you a window of how the cartels really work, you know, because on all these shows, people do research and people have advisors that tell you how things work. So watching that episode, I was like, wow, these people are so powerful. Mm-hmm. It's almost like their own government in a way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you guys are right on the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so before we let you go, we just want to again, thank you for chatting with us via Skype. I know you're in New York. It's late there. Is there anything you can tell us in regards to your character, your storyline, and then any other future stuff that you have?
When I go back to the barbershop, when I go back hanging out, don't try to test me because I'm not a doodle. I'm not a snitch.
I heard you've been snitching in these streets, Victor.
That's right. Know the difference between Victor and Arturo, right?
Yeah.
Big difference, yeah. But you know, that character is definitely fun. It's definitely different than all the characters I play, because I tend to go for roles like that. But I like this one in particular because he's a tough guy, but at the same time, he's a guy that you know, is a little bit shifty. You mm-hmm. know, so I have fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, playing with this character. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see what happens in the next couple of episodes. To see how the work that I did came across, and just to see, like you guys saying, as a fan, like the development of the whole arc of this season. Mm-hmm. And as far as myself, right now I have a movie out on Showtime. It's called 1155, which I co-wrote. It's a semi-based on my life. Mm-hmm. It's called 1155.
Ooh, okay.
Just the numbers. And also I'm writing a TV pilot right now. And I got some music coming out. I got an EP coming out soon. And you can follow me at Valmanzar 2, which is Victor Almanzar on Instagram. You can find me. It's going to be VALMANZAR 2. Or you could go into my website, victoralmanzar.com. Or for my music, cazike1.com. CAZIKE1.com. So yeah, there's a movie out. There's a few things that I got going. So looking forward for the next few several months and next year is gonna be amazing.
Nice. Great. Thank you again.
Thank you, Victor.
Appreciate you, Victor.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And we would love. I mean, I would love to say, you know, we would love to have you back, but I'm sorry. I think Arturo is not going to be around much longer, but great job to you.
You never know.
Okay.
We're definitely
going to watch, and thank you again. And you guys can follow him on Instagram. He also has a video out on YouTube called, I just watched it. It's called,
Let
My People Go. Yes. Job well done for that as well. And so, again, we want to thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Victor.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so continuing with the task force. Yes. So we've talked a little bit about Alicia's relationship with Diego, but let's move a little bit further. So Angela's pissed, right? Because Steve goes and takes the thing that she's been asking for.
Yeah.
So she goes, are the Jimenez paying you off? Someone else? Maybe Blanca, that's just me. And then she says, did you use me? Was any of this real? In my notes, I said, y'all met at noon, went to dinner at 8, y'all slept together by midnight. Was what real? Get the F out of here.
Yeah.
Was what real?
The attraction, the interest. He said he was a fan of her. Remember, when he first met her, he knew who she was right off. So for me, red flags. But for her, she was probably trying to use him to get over Ghost, too.
Of course. But and to defend Angela, they had dinner on Monday. She came back Tuesday night. But that's besides.
All right.
Details.
And just on a side note, is Angie using the same phone that she uses to text Tasha and Steve? Because I didn't see the switching of the phone, but in the first scene it was a different sound. But then the other scene it was the same sound that we heard with Tasha. So I'm wondering, is she using the same phone?
I don't want to think. I feel like the whole purpose of her giving Tasha a burner phone and this one was, you know, no face, no case.
That's
so
right.
I can't believe that Angie would be that stupid, but she's slipping. So I don't know.
Same thing that I was trying to say. Like, I really don't like that she's even keeping the phone right there. I mean, she's just being messy about the whole situation.
Very slippery. That's right.
So, real quick, guys, After Buzzers, I'm talking too fast, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. This network works hard to serve TV fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. You know, the one that you're watching right now, AfterBuzz TV Dramas, that's where you can catch us all the time. And you won't have to get notifications for all the shows, just the shows on drama and us especially. So make sure you're hitting that subscribe button. If you're on iTunes, make sure that you are hitting that off and leaving us with 5 stars. And we appreciate all the comments. Shout out to you guys in the chat again, and thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Now, can we talk about Terezi, Kanan, Ghost, Tommy, and the quadruple cross? I say the only person that made an impact and left this episode kind of unscathed was Kanan. How are we feeling about this triple team cross? I have some questions.
Okay, what's
question? So my first question is, okay, we know that Ghost and Kanan agreed that Tommy was getting too close to his Italian mob family, and they needed to rein that back and make Tommy unattractive to them. So my question is, did Kanan go off the cuff with his little plan to shoot up past the Italians and scare them? Or is Ghost in on that plan? Because my thought is that Ghost doesn't really know what Kanan did and that he set up his goons too. To mm-hmm. die, and I'm like, who's going to be your crew when you take over Tommy's business, Kanan? But, you know.
Go ahead.
Well, according to that scene, Ghost does tell Kanan, I have a plan. Mm-hmm. They just never said what the plan actually was. Yeah. So then, of course, we see what actually goes down. The plan went left. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't think it was supposed to go down.
So you
like
think that was Ghost's plan, and he was on board with what Kanan to scare
yes.
them?
Yes, because okay. he says no one can get hurt, especially Tommy. So, which is why it explains the blank guns, the blank bullets.
The reason why it went left is because remember Kanan specifically said that you guys need to shoot with these blanks, but mm-hmm. they took it upon themselves to start shooting with real bullets.
But how did he know? Who got hit?
Well, nobody got hit, but when they're shooting the real bullets, you can see the sparks. So that's why he had to step in and sort of like save the day. I think that he would have sort of been there anyway, tried to make it seem like he was there to like save them, but I think he had to because they ruined the plan. He had to basically shoot them.
Do you guys think he had planned to shoot them?
No,
the whole time?
I don't think
so. You don't think he planned to take... See, my gut is telling me he may have to get an end with the Italians because we see he sided right up with Vincent and had that conversation. Right.
Well, I think that was the Kanan plan outside of the Kanan and Ghost plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just want to give a shout out to the guy who plays Trigger. His real name is Holmes Lindsay, who I talked to on Instagram. And you know, rest in peace, Trigger.
It was quick.
Kanan. Yeah.
So
my question really is with the Vincent and Kanan conversation, we saw that, you know, Kanan let it slip that
I ain't no snitch.
Right, but. I ain't no snitch, but Tommy didn't take care of those people. Yeah. We see Vincent was looking at, what's Terezi's man's name that brought Tommy in?
Vincent.
No, yeah. I thought Vincent was...
Vincent was...
The younger girl. You mean Sammy.
Sammy, yes. Exactly. I'm sorry. So, you know, his look at Sammy says, I feel like Sammy doesn't have long because he's going to take the brunt of the introduction. And it's just going to be a lot of chaos. And again... I don't know what's going to happen, but this Italian connection, including Terezi telling Connie, because Connie knows what's up. Yeah. She's been in the game a minute, so she's even looking at her husband sideways. You know, I just feel like Connie's going to find out about Tommy. I feel like Sammy is not long of this earth, and Vincent is going to do something not only to Sammy, but I think to Tommy, because
you know,
it's just messy.
What I liked about the storyline is Terezi really brought in the drama to really reel Tommy in. And when you think about it, Tommy is a white kid with a mom who is coke-headish ways mm-hmm. about herself. Mm-hmm. They live in an all-black neighborhood, so he's never seen his dad. And he meets his friend, James Ghost, who has a family, probably go to the park, do all of these things with this black family. It becomes his family. Then Ghost grows up, and then he has his own family. And Tommy is still in a family that's not his family. So when he finally meets his dad, and then his dad tells him about the gravesite and how he's really selling his story about family. Mm-hmm. Then with the all of his people in the restaurant, I mean, Tommy is just, he's in because Tommy has always been so lost. The only person that he ever had to love was Holly, who was also crazy like Tommy's mama, and he had to kill her to protect the business and their system. So I think poor Tommy is all I could say, is he has no idea what he's about to get himself into.
Linda Julian said, Tommy is going to lose an arm.
Tommy's going to lose more than an arm, I think.
I think Tommy is really going down.
I hate to say that.
I think that eventually Tommy's going to die, but I thought about it, and I actually think that Terezi getting out of jail and doing the whole snitch thing, he may actually die before Connie.
I mean, I could see that because I think that Tommy is torn at this point because he knows something is shady about Terezi getting out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he came to the house after, you know, like, hey, we got hit up, wanted to make sure you're cool. Why weren't you answering the phone? He could have gone. Terezi was really pressed mm-hmm. to get some information out, and Tommy held back. And given what had just happened, it was interesting to me that Tommy, I know what he said to Ghost, mm-hmm. but, you know, he says one thing and does another quite a bit. So I feel like Tommy is unsure, but to your point, he wants to belong.
Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, if it comes down to Teresi and the Italians and Ghost, I think Tommy will go with Ghost. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of Ghost, let's talk about Ghost Proctor, the daughter, Lindsay, aka baby mom, Mock and Cooper. Just really quickly, what are your thoughts on Proctor's ex showing up? Who is T. Patterson in regards to the release date and the certificate request and the house warrant? Just what are your thoughts on the Proctor storyline? I really like, by the way.
You really like the storyline.
I really like the storyline. And I like the fact that Proctor had to check Ghost and was like, nah, bro, this ain't me. This is a we thing. We all in this together. This is we. Our life is all on the line. So don't come at me like that. And I'm glad that Proctor... Proctor is lose, like, he is about to lose his religion, if you know what I mean. Like, he is mm-hmm. fed up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's scared of Tommy. Tommy's making threats to him. This is not what he wanted. And so now Proctor...
Insurance policy, though.
He does. He does. So, any thoughts on that? It's minor, but any thoughts on that? If not, we can move on.
Not really. I am excited to see where that goes mm-hmm. because it's just starting to unfold, mm-hmm. like many yeah. things, though.
So. And the wife, as an ex-meth addict now, trying to get her lawyer's license back. There's something right. with that we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. So... I'm interested in that too,
but I'm also very interested to see what's going to happen with Councilman Tate, Ghost, and Dre situation. So let's talk about this a little bit, because little by little, after each episode, we're starting to see Tate unfold something a little bit more. So just real quick, let me get your yes or your no. Do you think Tate is scandalous, or do you think he's legit?
Scandalous.
For sure. Honey, he's been scandalous since last season when we saw him talking to the corner boys.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Sneaky. Okay, great. Then we all agree. Yeah. So let's talk about really fast how, you know, after, well, the investor party where especially Ghost and Tasha were supposed to attend, but Tasha didn't. We're not going to get into that because that's a part of something else that I want to mention. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously Ghost gets up there to take Tasha's speech and he fumbles. Mm-hmm. And after that whole scene, sorry, guys, we can't break it down anymore. I'm sure you saw the episode. Hopefully you did. But after that party where Tate... And he's like, okay, we got to do something about this because Ghost is just dropping the ball. So he invites Dre to have a meeting with him to become the face of QCP. Now, what I liked about that particular scene was that Dre seemed to do something that I've been wanting Ghost to do, which is pick up on Tate. Did you see that scene where he looked over to the side? He saw the poster of this governor. He's like, something else is up with this. Like, this is game, right? Yeah. But obviously, more unfolds. But so far, what do you guys think about how that's unfolding? And ultimately, when he decided to come back, we know why Dre decided to come back. We're all clear about why he did that, though, right?
Yeah, yep, protection.
And so what do you think is going to unfold? And I'm actually interested to find out what you guys think about that specific scene, the speech scene that Dre had.
I loved it. Dre was a boss, okay? He like played the rum. He's like, thank you for bringing me in, and now we're partners. And once again, protection. Because now if he gets touched, even if it's by Ghost, now everything else will crumble down, which is what Ghost is attempting to build.
And see, and I disagree. I think that was a downfall of Tate. You have now brought in two drug dealers, gangbangers, murderers, whatever you want to call them, into your brand, and you are trying to run for governor. And as we know now, nothing ever is kept a secret in politics. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this was a downfall. You brought in Ghost. All right, cool. Now you bring in Dre, who is running the... I think that's governor career suicide.
Bam. Now, Mr. Tate says never underestimate the value of a good image. I think Tate was a goon back in the day. Mm-hmm. He switched up things. Mm-hmm. Now he's the good guy. So don't think he doesn't know what he's actually doing.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines to tell us what he's about. Like, that's really sort of a telltale. What were you going to say, Bam?
No.
I definitely loved the line that Ghost said to Tate at the end. He said, "Thank you for bringing us together. I will not forget this." And so that was very, very great. And that's a foreshadow to find out. I think that Tate is going down. I think that he's definitely over with probably this season.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of being over with, shout out to Bam because he made this prediction of Tasha and Ghost, okay? That marriage is going down the drain. One major scene, it was towards the beginning of the episode, of course. Tasha overslept. They were supposed to go to the event and there's some pills there. So we see Tasha is trying to deal with everything, and now she's got pills to help her go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about that scene, and I know Robin, for a fact, was like, what the hell? he was like, he put all the blame on Tasha. He's saying, I'm raising money for our daughter, and he skated out. So, once again, he's not taking the blame, and he's just putting everything on her.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Bam.
Go first.
Say something that makes that's opposite that I want to say, I'm going to go book. Okay,
so,
go ahead.
Okay, so I can drag Tasha, but I'm going to be responsible about this. So the reality is this, and Mama Estelle was speaking the truth to her. She goes on about how he cares about this Queen Shaw project, Verena, that is going to fix everything. Mama says to him, it will, Tasha. He's helpless, just like me, just like you. It's nothing. I'm nothing like him. It hasn't worked since Angela. Okay, that is true. But what Estelle was saying to her, she was speaking to the conscience, but because she has other things on her mind in regards to wanting to move this relationship forward, I think her judgment is clouded. But also,
He's emotionally abusive, man.
But also, as Estelle is saying, they are both in wrong in regards to this because neither one of them are communicating, and they're both. First of all, you can't tell somebody how to grieve. If I tell you how to grieve over something that happened to you, you're going to look at me and be like, I need to get the F out of here. You can't tell somebody how to grieve.
Well, she's not even telling him how to grieve. She said, you're not even grieving at all. But you're not even dealing with it.
But let's go back to season 4 when they were in the bottom of the garage in the car when she said, you need to fix this. Mm-hmm. It was her who said, you need to fix this. You need to kill whoever you need to kill, and you need to take down whatever you need to do to protect whatever, you know, to protect our family. So this Queen Projects thing is helping him heal. Yeah, it is. I do believe it is. And everybody,
he's drinking again.
Yeah, but she's taking pills. Everybody. But when Melly on Scandal was sitting on the sofa eating fried chicken, that was her way of mourning. Okay. People have their different way of mourning, and you can't tell somebody how to mourn. Go ahead.
Well, okay. I'm not. So regardless of that, whether we think that he's trying to mourn with that or not, she is trying to communicate, and I think that she is trying to get him involved. You know, as in like the group, you know, the whatever it's called at the church, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Different things like that. And she's trying to come to him and he's not having it. He's trying to go to Angie to have conversations with her. And maybe that's his way of mourning, but still doesn't negate the fact that he's being disrespectful and rude to her. Still doesn't negate the fact that he's trying to put everything off on her. Like it's all on her right now. Like she's absolutely right. This does go back. This goes back to Angela and probably even a little bit more, but he is being so disrespectful. He's calling her selfish. He's calling her. And then the fact when she was like, I know we got to wrap up, so I'm gonna tame my little rant. Yeah. But when she was packing her stuff and he was like, all right, then leave. I don't need you. I mean, he almost turned like a little boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just being so disrespectful and just...
I will agree that he is being a little out of pocket. But again, as Estelle said, he's not being himself. And yes, he does do a lot of things that's out of pocket. But again, both of them need to band together rather than separate.
And I don't agree with you. He wants to band together with Angie, but anyway.
And I don't agree with you that she's trying to move on because she's got other things in mind. I know the Victor is there, the attorney.
Silver.
Uh-huh. Silver, right, sorry. I know that he's there, but I don't think that's a prime reason for her to try to move on. I think
this is allowing her to say, you know what? You're treating me, you're disrespectful, you're doing a bunch of things, it's time for me to move on. The only problem with her moving on, yeah, she should have moved on a long time ago because we know that this marriage was what it, you know, is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's bad timing. And Tasha, you are falling for Silver saying that, well, because... hold on, let me get my notes. He says,
I got you.
He says that she is no longer in danger. Silver doesn't know that she's in cahoots with Angela, and that there's a lot else that's going on. And then you go to this dude's house, and now you about to stay with him, the dude who defended your husband. Like, it's bad timing, and this is gonna bite her in the ass, and she's gonna actually have to go back to Ghost in order to protect herself, because she is just as guilty as the rest. So I'm not saying that she shouldn't have left him, but the timing is bad. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
All right, then.
Jill, I know you got a little something in your spirit.
You know, I'm just going to hold it. We just know that I disagree. And we're just going to say that. I disagree. And I do think that there's going to be problems for them both. But I think that Ghost needs to rein in himself.
Okay, so with that being said, let's go into predictions.
Who wants to go first?
Or After Buzz TV predictions.
Guys.
Okay, sure. I'll go.
Sure, I believe Tasha is going to run away, but she is going to get in some trouble, and she's going to come right back to Ghost.
So, I think that we are going to see the end of Arturo soon. I also think that we're going to get more into Proctor, and it's going to be kind of deep. And I think Tommy's in trouble.
I think that just like that very brilliant scene at the finale of this episode where Ghost and Angela are together, and you hear that wonderful song that's called Muddy Waters playing. It was beautifully done. Just like we heard that, they are getting into Muddy Waters, and something is going to go down with that. We have not seen the last of Tariq, because Tariq is coming back, and I think that I've been thinking that Tariq is about to he's about to go rogue.
Oh yeah, and we still have the detective to worry about, because she's obviously a stalker.
Ooh.
Yes, yeah. We didn't talk about the fact that she sat down with Daryl Gaines, D. Gaines, who Angela was using his login, and now it's coming to light that he was in, I guess, suspended for, you know, login tampering, but we know that that was Angela. So she says she has a theory, and I'm sure her theory is probably right, and we'll see.
And again, you know, we're gonna obviously figure out, you know, why she is so set against Angela.
Mm-hmm. And clearly Tasha, Ghost, everybody else who she's got in her
She has everybody on her interrogation board.
She's connecting dots.
So I'm gonna still stick with the fact that, you know, Dre will die, but I also think that Crystal Ball is going to take over, and then I think he's going to go back into business with Ghost, since they have no personal beef. Diego is also on the chopping block. Diego's on the chopping block, and then I wonder, who's going to kill him?
And don't forget, Jason's going to pop back up, because he wants his money.
That's right. Yes. And Tommy's been stressing about that too.
So. Yes, he has. So I think there's a lot on the line. I think that Angela will tell Ghost eventually what's been going on with her and Tasha, because something's going to happen, because...
Oh, and she spotted the tracker again. Sorry, just want to mention that. Mm-hmm. Remember on the paper at the end. I just wanted to get that in there. I know we're late, but...
Can you explain that?
So there was paperwork that... Mm-hmm. I can't remember who dropped the file off in the office. She flipped to it. She saw Tommy's name, and she saw that there's still an active tracker on his car. So I don't know. You know, and then soon after she called Ghost. So I don't know if that's part of what she's going to reveal to Ghost, and we'll see next episode, but clearly something's coming up with that. And then here comes a music, so. Mm-hmm.
You remember when they tapped the car?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that so yeah, was, that's what she said.
I can't remember what season, but yeah.
Yeah, it was last
season. Like, was it early season?
No, it was
early
just last
season.
Season.
They're all in trouble, and I wonder what is going to happen. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you to all the guys on the live chat who was giving your comments. Sorry we were late due to technical difficulties with our Skyping. And let everyone know where you guys can be found on social media.
Well, guys, you know that you can catch me on all of my social media platforms at Robin Ayers.
You can follow me everywhere at Stiletto Jill, including YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
On Instagram at the Jimmy V.
And real quick, sorry, I had the wrong lower third up, but it's up now for our special guest, Victor Almanzar. So it's at Val, V-A-L, Manzar, M-A-N-Z-A-R, 2. For all you audio listeners, again, it's at V-A-L, M-A-N-Z-A-R, 2. Sorry about that.
And we want to thank our special guest.
Thank you, Victor. Definitely make sure to follow him.
Yeah, really great guy. Congrats to you on everything. And then thank you. I'm Bam Erickson. You can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. And we want to thank you guys for tuning in, because we love doing what we're doing. And we want to thank you so much. And next week is episode 5. Oh, wait. Episode 5.
Yes.
So listen, with episode 5, there's always a aha moment. So as the music is rapping, give me a, what do you guys think will be the aha moment? And then you can take us away.
It might be Tate going.
Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah. Someone.
Someone major.
Someone's gonna die.
Someone major dies, and I don't know what it is, but someone major dies, and we will talk about it next week. So thank you guys.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.